Holy Gospel according to Luke, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And I want to let you know I'll be reading a few extra verses at the end of what you have listed. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren and both were getting on in years. Once, when he was serving as a priest before God and his section was on duty, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and to offer incense. Now at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. And then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know that this is so? For I am an old man, and my wife is getting on in years." The angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. But now, because you do not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak, until the day these things occur." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for a short message. And grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that is present with us now. Amen. Silence and other surprising invitations from Advent. And we start with this story from Luke. Now, I want you to think about this story for a moment with me because of the way that it doesn't share what we expect to hear. As you start a story about Jesus, and as you think about what's coming up, I think we might expect that the first story might be about the family of Jesus. It might be Mary and Joseph that we're hearing from. That would make sense. That would be normal. But I think Luke, the writer Luke, is doing something here to invite you into the story. So I want to start with that, just that thought that maybe Luke is inviting you into the story. And it goes with this family, Zechariah and Elizabeth, that could just be any family that's faithfully trying to live their life. I think it's really interesting, too, because Zechariah and Elizabeth look a lot like Abram and Sarai in Scripture. If you recall, Abraham and Sarah, they became, in that story, they were also, in the story, seen as righteous under the law. They were living out their lives according to what God had called them to. There's a few more of those in Scripture, but that one comes to my mind because also Sarai was barren. And God comes to them and says, "From you, there will be many ancestors." And so anybody reading this story can recall that story from this very quickly, that there's something more in this story that we're reading here. But what this really seems to me to get at is something more with Zechariah and Elizabeth, because it takes that question of Abram and Sarah, which turned into this wonderful story. You know, it worked out. They were able to see all these things happen. And we look then at these two and we say, but you know, things aren't working out. I mean, we haven't completed that story. We're back in that same situation. The descendants here, again, appear to be almost cut off. And here's where I want to take a step back and remind you that salvation for a Hebrew person, at one time, their understanding of that wasn't about heaven above. It was the Abrahamic promise in the covenant that said, your salvation is that you will have descendants that move on and on. through your family line, your family will live on. And that's the understanding that they had of salvation. So, do you see the conundrum? When a faithful Jewish person in the first century, or right around this time period, looks and says, I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to do, and yet still, it looks like I'm being cut off from my relationship with God altogether. And of course, in that time, probably a little bit to this time too, they had that overwhelming understanding that said that your blessings that happen, the material blessings, family, having children, all of these things, that shows you that you are favored by God. So what does a woman who's barren feel? What does a man who is in line with, who loves his wife so much, and they look and they cannot create a child, the thing that represents to them how life continues, how salvation is shown in their lives, what does that do? This is the story that we begin our church, the Christian Bible in Luke from. Isn't that an interesting witness to Jesus? Now, yes, Zechariah did everything right, and he kept on faithfully doing this, even as all of these things were going wrong for him. I wonder how we can tie that into our story for a moment. I wonder if we can take a moment and look and say, well, maybe there really isn't a strong stigma, at least faithful-wise, that if you can't have a child, you're not blessed by God. Although I think a few people who are struggling to have children will tell you it's a very hard thing in our culture still. They wonder what's wrong with you, or you just feel like something is not fair. But think about how many other things beyond just that affect each and every one of us. I started to kind of brainstorm that for a moment, and I'm going to give you a list, and you can write down a few more that might be true for you. I'm not going to have you raise your hand, but I bet you I hit one that hits you in one way or another. Because in our day, isn't it true that somebody is going to tell you who you are, that you aren't smart enough, or that you're not pretty enough, or that you're not rich enough, that you're not fast enough, that you're not old enough, that you're not young enough, that you're not skinny enough, that you're not... Add on and add on. That you don't have a big enough house, that you aren't living your life the right way. What else can you add where you'll find yourself marginalized and put in a smaller and smaller place? See, I think the story of Zechariah is really artfully done witness to Jesus by this gospel writer, Luke. Because I think what he's done for each of us is he's helped us to find our way into the story. Before we even have the story of Jesus, we have this family that can represent each and every one of us. See, this is why, too, because, of course, out of this family is this gift that comes to them. And we know it as John the Baptist. But at this time, it was just a hope that they could have this family line continue through them, that they could be a blessing to God. You see, Zechariah spent his whole life saying, you know, how can I share this witness to the world? Am I doing it right, is what I said at the Thanksgiving worship service. And when he's not seeing a child come into their family, I bet you he's questioning even more. Am I doing this right? I'm not sure. And then this child is born who becomes the one that points to Christ, who reaches out to those who are broken out in the world and says to them, your brokenness does not have to stop you from being a part of this family. And John the Baptist continues to share that story. That invitation from Advent that comes from him starts with Zechariah and Elizabeth long ago. Now I want to move to one other piece that kind of ties into our theme of silence. So at the end of the story, I read to you that Gabriel silenced, made mute Zechariah. As you read this, it almost appears to be a punishment. He seems to question whether God can do this, and it's, you're going to be struck mute for the next, I suppose, 9 months. Is that a punishment? Well, Some of us would say, yes, that would be a big punishment. But I wonder if that was meant to be a gift for him. And I wonder if it's something that we can point to in each of our lives right now, too, for a time period of silence. Because I think Zechariah was so busy doing and trying to do everything that God had called him to do in his life that he might have made it to where it was really hard for him to experience the voice of God that was calling him. Perhaps he was struck mute to have a moment to take one of those parts away from him that he could might experience God more. As we enter into this time of Advent, I want to remind you that this Zechariah and Elizabeth is an entry point for each of you into the story of Christ Jesus as well. That you are invited to look at your own life, to realize the brokenness that you have, and to realize that God still calls you. And then with that realization, hopefully we can take some time here to ponder and wonder about the ways that God will use you. Because God will use you. God will reach out in your life and give you the opportunity to be a blessing to others, to light the way for another. You can be the one, like John the Baptist, that points to Christ, though I would recommend not wearing the old animal skins and eating the honey and berries out in the wilderness. Well, go ahead and do that, but wear some clothes for goodness sake. This is the promise of God. The angel Gabriel gave Zechariah this gift, and he made him vulnerable for a moment. I wonder if that vulnerability was what was so important to the writer of Luke that each and every one of us see in our own life as we start pondering our relationship with Christ. Amen.